Mark 4, verse 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Friends, this is God's word. Let's pray to receive it with joy and thankfulness this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're all powerful and able to calm a raging storm, both in nature and in our lives. God, and I pray that that's what you do this morning. I pray that raging storms in these individual lives, God, here today would be calmed from what you have to say from us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So friends, I wanted to start just by asking you all a question and something for you to like keep in mind and ponder throughout the sermon today. And that question is, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Fear is a very common thing that we face day in and day out. And we have so many things in our world telling us what to be afraid of. Like during the height of the COVID pandemic, we had the news and social media and even friends telling us, like, you can't even leave your house because you'll catch the disease. And like Thomas was praying about, we've had a government shutdown that's affected a lot of people, and including some in this room, and there's people who aren't getting paid, and there's people whose jobs are in jeopardy. And maybe your life just feels like complete chaos. You don't have a moment's rest. You have to go from work to Bible study to happy hour to a doctor appointment, and you're just afraid it's never going to end. And honestly, the storm in our passage may perfectly describe how you're feeling. The wind's rocking you, the waves are crashing against you, and you feel like you're going to break. And like the boat in this passage, you're sinking. It's a really scary place to be. In our passage, this huge storm is raging to the point that the disciples feared for their lives. And it makes perfect sense why they were feeling this way, because they were in a ship that was literally sinking. And their life was in danger, and they turned to Jesus, their only hope in this situation. And Jesus, we see, performs his first miracle in the book of Mark that demonstrates his power over nature. With just a word, he silences the storm. And the disciples are saved. And they marvel at Jesus. See, Jesus was in complete control over the situation. As the God of all creation, creation bends to his will, the Creator. And just like how Jesus has control over the elements, he is in control over your life too, including your fears. So no matter what storm you're in, even if you're sinking, Jesus is in complete control over the situation. He's not going to let you drown. He is with you in the midst of your storm. just like how he is right there in the middle of the storm with his disciples. But really knowing that Jesus is with you can be really hard. Because let's be honest, it is really, really hard to remember that Jesus is with you when you are suffering and your fears are mounting. It's really easy to say that here on a Sunday morning when you're gathered with believers, but on Wednesday, on hump day, when you've been alone and lonely, it is really hard to remember that. But I pray that by the end of this sermon, your heart will know without a doubt, and that this sermon and this passage would be a healing balm to those who are suffering, and that you would know that Jesus is with you when you are afraid, and that Jesus is in complete control over your fears. And that leads us into the main point of our message this morning. For you who are taking notes, remember that when you are afraid, Jesus is with you and is sovereign over your fears. I'll say that one more time. Remember that when you are afraid, Jesus is with you and is sovereign over your fears. So for the rest of our time together, we're going to slowly walk through the passage and then discuss what's happening. And then we're going to talk about how this passage reveals to us how Jesus is with you when you're afraid, and then how it reveals to us that Jesus is sovereign over your fears. So first, let's just slowly walk through the passage together. We're going to start back in verses 35 and 36. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. So just to set the stage a little bit, it's the end of a very long teaching day for Jesus. He was probably already in a boat teaching these crowds, because like as we've seen him do earlier in the Gospel of Mark, he would get into a boat and then push off from the shore a little bit, partially to help better protect his voice probably and teach, but also so that the crowds wouldn't crush him. So now we're at the end of the day, and Jesus asked the disciples to lift the anchors and set sail for the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which the disciples oblige. And Mark gives us a couple of small little details about the event in verse 36 I just wanted to highlight for you all. One of them is when it says, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. That phrase, just as he was. It probably means that Jesus was just tired at the end of the day, which is just a picture of Jesus' humanity for us. He needs sleep after a long day of preaching to really hard hearts. Verse 36 also mentions that other boats were with him. So there are other disciples traveling with them besides just the 12. And I have a photo I wanted to show you guys. Abby, if you don't mind showing the picture. Yeah, so I wanted to have this up here just as a visual for you guys, just to get an idea of like what size the boats were. This is what the ESV Study Bible says. It was a fishing boat, could hold about 15 people. So that's a decent amount of followers Jesus has sailing with him. I mean, we don't know the exact number of boats, but the fact that they are continuing to follow Jesus into the sea really distinguishes them from the crowd that stays on the shore. These disciples are leaving the safety and security of the shore and heading into dangerous waters, whether they know it or not. And it's a picture of what happens when we begin our Christian walks. Following Jesus means that we're going to be in storms. And Jesus is the one who initiated going into these storms. He's the one who asked to go to the other side of the sea. He's the one leading them, just like he will lead us into storms. So whenever storms do hit us, we shouldn't be like that surprised. Trials and storms are promised to those following Jesus. But more on that later. Let's continue in verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. My grandparents had a fishing boat when I was a kid, and one time we went out from the shore to fish, and a storm started to pick up. And my grandfather started going as fast as he could to get out of the storm back to the shore, and I distinctly remember, because we were going so fast, the rain was hitting us like little bullets the entire way there, almost like little pieces of hail. And my grandfather didn't care because he had his nice windshields up on the sides and in front. So he's like, you guys are fine. We got to get out of this storm. And the rest of us are in like swim trunks, so we had barely any like protection against this. Anyway, that's the closest experience I've ever had to being in a storm like this, because they have it much worse. Like they've set sail, and yes, the winds are picking up and the waves are crashing against them. The rain is probably hitting them like bullets. The water begins filling the boat, and they are probably grabbing buckets to throw water overboard. Their fishing gear is getting damaged. They're rocking back and forth, slipping from all the water. And then, verse 38. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I'm sure that we've all asked that question before, right? When we've been afraid. Jesus, don't you care that my child is sick and isn't getting better? Jesus, don't you care that my marriage is on the brink? Jesus, don't you care that my career is uncertain? Or Jesus, don't you care that I'm lonely? Well, I want you to know that no matter what you're afraid of, no matter what is happening in your life, that Jesus does care. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he is in your midst helping you through it. But he might not show up in the way that you expect him to. I mean, just look at what Jesus is doing here. Jesus isn't grabbing a bucket to throw water or trying to steer the ship. He's asleep. Which on the one hand, you know, he's really tired from the end of the day. But on the other hand, the ship's drowning, Jesus. Why aren't you helping us? And the answer is because Jesus has complete trust in his Father. He was so at peace that he knew he was secure. And he knew that his heavenly Father is with him in the midst of this storm. Verse 39. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The fact that Jesus was able to transform this great storm into a great calm with just a word reveals that he has the power to do what only God, who created the sea, can do. And you see this all throughout the Old Testament, friends. I'm just going to spit out a few verses just for you to ponder. Genesis 8:1 says, But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the water subsided. God made the water subside from the flood. Job 26:12, by his power he stilled the sea. Nahum chapter 1 verse 4, he rebukes the sea and makes it dry. This miracle also points us in a few different directions. It points us to Jesus' deity, like we've been saying. Jesus is God. He's able to calm the sea. This miracle also points us to the fact that Jesus is in complete control over the situation. It was dire, and lives were at risk, but Jesus never once lost control. This miracle is also the first of three that we're going to see Jesus demonstrating supernatural power over as we walk through the next few weeks in the Gospel of Mark. Like today, we're seeing Jesus' authority over nature. The next week, we're going to see Jesus' authority over demons, specifically a man that's been victimized by a legion of them. And then the 2 weeks from now, we're going to see Jesus' authority over death itself when he brings a 12-year-old girl back to life. So that's just theologically like seeing what Mark is doing, like why he has these few stories back to back to back, showing Jesus' supernatural power over these things. And amongst all three of these stories rings this truth, that Jesus' authority is greater than any threat that may seek to destroy us. Verse 40, he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Why does Jesus say this is a faith issue? To be afraid for your life in this situation would make complete sense. But the problem wasn't that the disciples were overemphasizing their situation. The problem was that they were de-emphasizing the power of the one who is in their midst. And it's really revealing also how hypocritical the disciples are when we get to Mark chapter 14, because the disciples are the ones who go to sleep on Jesus in his hour of terror in Gethsemane. They fall asleep on him twice when he wakes them and asks them to pray for him. But they don't doze off because of their trust in God. They doze off because of a case of heavy eyes. Verse 41, and they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The disciples' awe and fear of Jesus is a right response, but they still don't completely realize who Jesus is. And they've had a front row seat to Jesus' healings and casting out demons. But in this storm, they forget the power Jesus has. Or more specifically, they don't understand who he is. But friends, we know who Jesus is. We know his character and his heart for us. And one of Jesus' defining characteristics is that he is always with you. Jesus is with you when you are afraid. So let's talk a little bit more, like, application-wise. Like, after reading this passage and seeing what it's saying, how does this apply to us? How do we know? How can we know that Jesus is with you when you are afraid? So we said earlier that Jesus is with the disciples in the midst of the storm. Jesus doesn't say, "Peace out," when the storm hits them. And when the disciples wake him up, he is right there with them. Which is also ironic how calm Jesus, the carpenter, is in this situation compared to the fishermen disciples who sail for a living. Jesus awakens from his sleep, he silences the storm, and saves the day. But before he did, the disciples' question still rings in our ears. They're asking if Jesus cares that they are about to die. And of course Jesus cares. Of course God cares. Of course he cares that the disciples are in imminent danger. He cares about the fears in your life as well. The problem is not that God stops caring. He doesn't want you to live a life of fear. The problem is that in the midst of suffering, we take our eyes off of Christ and forget who he is. We fear our circumstances more than we trust Christ. Our fears outweigh our faith when our distress is more present and more powerful to us than God is. Now, I want to take a minute and I just want to clarify something. I want to make sure you guys are hearing what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that your suffering isn't that big of a deal. If we interpret this passage to say that we need to stop making a big deal out of our small problems, then we will either walk away from the Bible feeling as though it doesn't apply to our deepest sufferings, and or you will be discouraged when real suffering does hit, and you aren't able to bury it deep inside and make it insignificant. That's what I'm not saying. What I am saying is that Jesus is with you no matter your fears, no matter what your circumstance, big or small, whether you're afraid of being late to go into work in the morning, or when you are suffering to the point where it feels impossible to get out of bed in the morning. Because let's just be honest, it's really, really easy to forget how powerful God is in the midst of a storm. I suffered from varying degrees of loneliness for a decade. And I walked through some really hard days, but there were also days where Jesus' presence shined through my storm. And knowing that God is with you is so important because it means you are never truly alone. I mean, life is hard enough as it is. How much more of a burden is it when you feel like you've been abandoned on top of whatever it is you're feeling? One of the chief ways that you can know Jesus is with you is by remembering and meditating on the promises of God. And the Bible is chock full of these promises. And God is the God of truth. So when he says he's going to do something, he will for all time. So friends, I just encourage you, meditate. If you're taking notes, meditate this week on promises like Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Guys, God is promising to never leave you. Or John 10:27-29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Guys, that just has so much. Like, Jesus knows you. He gives you eternal life. He promises that you will never perish, and you will never be taken away from him. And I know it might feel a little elementary to be hearing a sermon about how God never leaves you. Maybe some of you guys are feeling this way, I'm not sure. But honestly, we are so forgetful. We need to go back to the basics of the Christian faith, because without knowing, and I mean really knowing and living out a foundational truth like this, then Satan's going to continue to be able to sell us the lie that God's abandoned us and that we are utterly alone. Friends, Jesus died and rose from the dead so that you can never be taken away from him. Jesus went to the cross so that you will be united to him. Jesus came to earth, lived a perfect, sinless life to pay for your sins, so that you would know that Jesus is always with you. The Holy Spirit has been living inside of you ever since you gave your life to Christ. He knows everything that you're going through. And he is right there in the thick of it with you. So we've been talking about how Jesus is with you when you are afraid. Now let's talk more about how Jesus is sovereign over your fears. So earlier we were talking about how Jesus is the one who initiated sailing to the other side of the sea. And that's because the Christian walk will mean walking through storms. Trials and storms are promised to us. You also see it in the Deuteronomy verse that we read earlier in chapter 31, verse 8, when it said, "It is the Lord who goes before you." Psalm 23 is another excellent passage that has this truth on display, where it says, "He leads me beside still waters, he leads me in paths of righteousness," and then we have verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Guys, Psalm 23 is telling us that the paths of righteousness lead through the valley of the shadow of death. Just because you're going through something dark doesn't mean that God has abandoned you, and it doesn't mean that God has lost control over the situation either. God is before you in your storm. And when we remember that God is in control, we are relieved from the burden to think that we are in control of our lives and it rests on our shoulders. You are not in control. God is in control. And that is such a relief. You know, Jesus could have just told the disciples that he's sovereign over creation and over their fears. Would have been a lot easier. But he allows them to go through a near-death experience so that he could show his power to them. Have you considered that God allows you to go through this, whatever storm you're in, so that you can come to the end of yourself? We need storms to get a new glimpse of who Jesus is, just like how the disciples got a new glimpse of Jesus' power. Charles Spurgeon, he's a famous preacher from the 1800s. He battled depression and chronic pain throughout his ministry, so much so that he was out of the pulpit more than a third of the time. And of his depression and pain, Spurgeon said this, "I've learned to kiss the waves that throw me against the rock of ages." Friends, may we be able to say the same thing. When we are tossed about, let yourselves be thrown against Christ. But at the same time, if you are in a storm, don't ask God to prolong your suffering. Pray that it would end. And ask God for the suffering to shape you to be more like Jesus through your storm. So what do you think God wants to reveal to you in your storm? What new glimpses of Jesus are you starting to see in the middle of your suffering? Friends, look for those glimpses. Look for those signs of Jesus' love. Look to the promises God has made in his word and let them comfort you. A week ago, a really good friend of mine passed away. He was an older brother in the faith that was really influential on me. And throughout this week, in the middle of my grief, I was thinking two things. The first is that, of course, something like this would happen when I'm preaching on a passage like this. The second thing was that God used these same verses I shared with you to bring me comfort. His love shined through my storm, and I got to grow deeper in my knowledge and affection for Jesus. Our passage ends with the disciples still not understanding who Jesus is. They're going to continue to get new glimpses and new teachings in Mark's gospel, and eventually they do realize that he is the Messiah. And maybe you're here today, and you're like the disciples. You don't completely understand who Jesus is either. And if that's you, I want you to know that you're welcome here. No matter if you've been around Christianity in the past or if this is your first time in a church service, Jesus wants you to know him too. And Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection is sufficient for all that choose to follow him. Jesus' perfect sinless life means that he could die as the perfect blemish-free sacrifice as a payment for your sins. And Jesus' resurrection from the dead means that we continue to follow a God that is not dead but is alive. His promises did not end when he died. He is eternal and forever. And this kind of act that Jesus did demands a response. So if you want to learn more about who Jesus is, or if you want to know more about this church, feel free and come and talk to me after the service. Because the day of judgment is coming, friends. If you're found to not be a follower when he does return, there will be an eternal punishment. The disciples in our passage could not survive a storm like this unless Jesus calmed it. You cannot calm the storm that is the wrath of God. Only Christ is able to do so. And he is offering to do just that for you. If you would only leave the safety of the shore and set sail with Jesus' followers. I'm going to invite the worship team up this time. Throughout our passage, we've seen how Jesus is with you when you are afraid, and that Jesus is sovereign over your life and over your fears. No matter what kind of fears you're facing, big or small, Jesus is in the thick of it with you. And he is also going to use storms to help reveal more of who he is to you. Many of us here are in storms of various kinds, and I know that the fears can mount. But I'm here for you, guys. I'm here for you. Other people in this church are here for you to help bear your burdens. You don't have to have these weights on your own shoulders. And most and greatest of all, Jesus is with you to bear the burden. Our Christian walks mean that we will leave the safety of the shore for storms. But in those storms, ponder what God wants to reveal to you. Meditate on the promises he makes in his word so that you will remember when you are afraid that Jesus is with you and sovereign over your fears. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for taking us from the safety of the shore into the storms so that we can know you more. We can understand you, see your glory more, help rely on you. And God, bring us to the end of ourselves. Jesus, I just pray that those who are suffering would seek help. Those who just need a friend would seek help. And that you would provide for those suffering from the hurricane, those suffering from the government shutdown, to anything in between, God. I just pray that you would be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.